Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts, Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Hello, and welcome to episode 138 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent, fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my friend, my buddy, my compatriot. It's Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle, and hi, Adam.
Hey, you're back.
I am. How does this work again? You're going to have to explain this to me. It's been a little while. I'm not sure I know how to podcast anymore.
Yeah. Where were you? Let's cut right to that. The updates.
Well, you know, I've been all over the house.
Okay.
And nowhere else. For a long time.
Nice.
I don't even know how long. It seems like it's been years.
It's been a while. I mean, I don't think the last show you were on, I mean, the episode that we did together was, it's been what, three months?
Probably more than that.
Yeah, I'd have to go look. I don't feel like looking. But welcome back. What's going on in your world?
Oh, gee, thanks. You're so nice. I love it how you're interested in my personal affairs. I have had a tumultuous and a crazy, we've all had a crazy year, but this year has been crazy on top of crazy on top of some crazy with some crazy on top.
Wow.
And it just has not stopped. And we could talk probably for hours just recapping the major life events which have occurred for me and my family in 2020. But some of the more significant, especially the ones which have affected my availability for little things like recording a podcast, which I dearly love and have sorely missed, say the significant growth of my family all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a long story, but the short of it is we wanted to grow our family this year. We thought, yeah, it would be nice to have a second child. Mm-hmm. And we pursued adoption, and we even decided this year to open our home to foster care.
And
thought, you know, adding another child to the household to go from one to two, that would be really great. What a blessing, right?
Right.
Right.
I'm with you so far.
Well, we didn't add one child. Added four.
Four? Yeah, that's right. You went from
it
one.
It wasn't the plan.
You went from one to five.
We did over a very short span of time. And, you know, I'm sure you think that we're totally crazy. It wasn't exactly the plan, I would say. But this is how it worked out. And, well, here
you are.
Here we are.
That's awesome.
Later.
You
counting
are.
Five children, at least for now.
Right.
Two toddlers who are foster children with us, and two twins whom we have adopted.
That's amazing.
when they were born.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's been quite an adventure. And I don't even know where to start. But yeah, that's the big thing. That has like consumed my life over the past 6 months.
That's amazing. So, well, welcome back. I know, and you and Ashley are very, very special people. You inspire me to be better, plain and simple, honestly, based on just that aspect of what you got, how giving and loving and caring you are. On the flip side of that coin, I find it humorous sometimes when you call me, you text me, it's like, yeah, we lost today.
Hey, not every day is going to be a win.
No.
Yeah. You know, kids, they're kids.
They're
you
kids.
Know, they need a lot. They're very, 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 very needy and very demanding.
Right.
And, you know, listening isn't their strong suit yet. They haven't learned that skill. And, you know, it's stressful. And, you know, I don't, I'm just like hanging on to a shred of sanity here, but I'm still alive.
You make it look easy. Let me tell you, make it look easy.
Well, you know, when you're as far away as you are, it probably looks that way.
Yeah. Cool. Well, congrats on all that.
Yeah. How about you? I mean,
nothing's been changing. Nothing's changed at all. Oh, wait. No, that's not true. Okay. I haven't bought any domain since we spoke last, I don't think. So that's good. Since we podcasted last.
It is good. We're on the same page about the goodness.
Right. Yeah. I'm just working, planning for, you know, the end of the year. 2021's like 15 days away, launching all the things. I actually am about to launch a thing I bought a year ago. So my rule is have a domain more than 2 years, I have to let it go. So this was just under the 1 year. It renewed a couple of days back. It's over at gidiot.com. I want to learn more about Git and the code and the overall better concepts, really know it better. I want to document how I learn it. So, because I feel like an idiot with Git. So it's gidiot.com. There's a coming soon page. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm gonna teach myself Git. Document it. I might actually live stream it or Twitch it. I don't know exactly how I'm going to do it yet, but I'm doing that. That's going to be one of my just fun little side hustles. I'm not even looking to monetize at the moment. Just looking like this is going to be kind of something I want to teach myself. Mm. Along with that guitar behind me that you sent me a year ago. 2021, I will learn to play guitar.
Mm. I don't think those are equal on your priority list.
Okay.
They shouldn't be. One of them is significantly more important.
The guitar.
It's the one that's will... Yes.
Of course.
Lifelong enrichment.
Yes.
Of your life. You know, it's just, you need to invest in that. I'm just saying. Because I care about you. Right. I think this is in your best interest. Invest in that.
I appreciate it. And also, I just want to say happy holidays. This episode is going to drop right before Christmas, like a day or two before. I think 2 days before. We're recording it the day after the last day of Hanukkah. I think Festivus is also around the corner. Kwanzaa's coming up. Any other holidays I might be missing, I don't mean to. So just happy holidays, everybody, you know, so kind of cool.
Yeah. Isn't it? It's really special time.
It is. It is indeed. So, on that, you know, it's,
this is the point at which we do talk about everything that's new.
All right. A couple of things here. I'll mention the first one, that is our friend of the show, a guest host in the past, Dustin Hartzler celebrated his 500th episode over on his podcast, Your Website Engineer, just last week.
Congrats to Dustin. What a milestone.
Yeah, it really is.
He's a legend. Dustin is a legend.
In his own mind. Yeah, 10 years. He's been podcasting for 10 years. But, he took a few breaks here and there. But for the longest time, he and I were neck and neck as far as consecutive weeks. But he decided, he just had, life comes up. Like, life came up for you. He decided just, take a breath. But yeah, he's at 500. He's going to keep it going next year. So he's looking forward to it. So congratulations, Dustin.
And while we do know him well, I'm sure people are wondering, we have no inside information about his negotiations with Spotify about getting your website engineer on their platform. I know there's rumors going right now and a lot of big numbers being discussed, but we are not at liberty to disclose anything.
Not at all.
Want to make that known.
Right. Okay? And I mean, because we can't really talk about our relationship with Spotify. We're there, as well. So we just can't, it's one of those things that you can't talk about. It's almost like Fight Club.
So stop asking people.
Okay. Stop asking. What else is in the news there?
I think it was yesterday, the official State of the Word 2020 went live. Mm-hmm. And this is an annual tradition. How long has it been going? I don't even know, 15 years or something like that, a whole bunch of years. Mm-hmm. Matt, the co-founder of the WordPress Project, has been doing an annual address to everyone, kind of like the president's State of the Union, and just talking about what in WordPress now and next. And, the premise is nice that once a year we as a community take the time to kind of like look back, celebrate the accomplishments, look ahead, get excited, answer some questions, and have dialogue. And it's cool. And this is the first ever virtual one. Did you watch it?
I did. I watched the majority of it. It was pre-recorded, and then the Q&A was, they were sent in ahead of time so they can be answered and stuff. So it wasn't live, which I think it was actually good.
Sure.
And it was no live Q&A because you don't want to have just some of the mumble chatter and this whatever. Yeah, it was good. I mean, it's not the same as being in person at a big conference, but I did watch it and nothing really surprised me. So honestly, there was no WP Dharma, which was awesome, truly, in my opinion.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Right. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I did watch it today while watching some toddlers at the same time. So it was a little bit of a distracting environment, I got the gist. And I will say, I'll start with positives and say that it's nice to see the tradition continue. And I appreciate any sense of normalcy in a year like this. I liked seeing other faces in the video. And there were times where questions came in where Matt passed it to someone more appropriately responding to the question. and that was cool. And getting a good variety of people asking and answering questions, and some people like giving demos or contributing during this actual state of the word. That's kind of cool. And the full site editing demo, I thought was impressive.
Mm-hmm.
It just made me reflect, like, it's so unbelievable how far WordPress has come in the years that we've been doing this and watching it evolve, looking back on the early days when we were talking about just such minor features in comparison. And now we're looking at this demo of WordPress doing this full site editing thing that is just, it's just crazy.
I guess
it is amazing.
It is. I mean, is that in conjunction with the collaboration? That's, I think, even going to be cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
It's impressive how far this software has come. Really testament to like all the people contributing and I don't know, the way that this community has committed and stuck to it for so long. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. There are some things that watching this, you know, I don't appreciate. And I'll point out a couple. For one, I don't think Matt should be doing this anymore. I think that's wrong. I think it's not cool.
Okay.
That Matt delivers the state of the word.
You think you and I should do it?
You know, there are a lot of candidates. There are a lot of candidates.
Okay. Nicely played.
Yeah. I think that this should not be a Matt thing every year. That's just not in the spirit of this project. And it's complicated for a lot of reasons. But if we aspire to be kind of like this sort of democratic community and collaborative, like it's rallying around this free open source project and embracing the values that have been espoused since the early days, it just seems antithetical to that, to really have this kind of single individual person with a death grip on full control of everything that is meaningful. And that bothers me. I feel like this, it would be a healthy, better choice in the future for different people to be delivering the state of the word, not just this one person who has a tremendous commercial interest in the project.
Okay.
And the
this
other
is not,
thing.
This, for those who might be new to the show, this is not new opinion of yours. This is your ongoing opinion for the past many years.
Sure.
From my take. Yeah. Just so you know.
Yeah. 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 Okay. And I also think that, what I just said is kind of just my opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't know that right or wrong is the way I just think it would be better if the state of the word were delivered by different people. And more or less the community just functioned in that way, mm-hmm. where more people were more empowered. The other thing I think is just plain wrong is Matt should definitely not be blatantly praising his own commercial products on this platform. That is just wrong. That's not okay. It is unethical to do that. And that there's just no getting around this fact. He has an enormous commercial interest in specific products in this industry and gets to use this platform to shine a huge spotlight on them.
Oh, I know.
And we all act like it's fine.
I know what you're referencing now. Okay.
It's not okay. That is unethical. Just imagine, like, what if Matt was up there on this platform and saying, like, oh, and by the way, you know, you can buy my solo jazz album or order one of my original paintings on my website and proceeds go to fund my fourth home. That would be like really blatantly unethical and an abuse of his station. But it's really not different in any way. Promoting anything .com or Jetpack or Woo on this
at that venue
in this
on that
presentation
stage,
is just wrong. It shouldn't be done. Yeah. It demonstrates, I think, a lack of integrity and tremendous conflict of interest and is unhealthy for this ecosystem. End rant.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So there.
All right. Kyle's back.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, what's next, man? Let's go.
I think that might be all the news we have time for. Awesome. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. At first I was wondering where you're going with that, and then I realized what you were referencing. And yes. Okay. I can see the point there. I'm just curious, real quick, to poke the bear. What if he mentioned competitor products, competing services?
Well, that's fine. There's no conflict of interest. I think that would demonstrate real integrity.
Okay. Okay.
Of someone like using this particular forum and their authority to shine the spotlight elsewhere.
Okay.
Elsewhere. You know, just I was almost going to make a political analogy, and I shouldn't. No. But, you know, people in political office like have constant concerns about conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. If they have holdings.
Right.
That they should be mindful of the fact that if like they do something in their acting as an elected official, which then in turn results in financial gain for some of their holdings, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
that raises serious ethical questions. So if you, for example, own a hotel and choose to go and stay at that hotel as an elected official, and then the government is paying that hotel, that raises ethical questions. If you...
Oh, no, I get you. I hear you.
If you made the choice to avoid your own hotel and stay at a competing hotel, that demonstrates integrity.
Oh, yeah.
Because you are avoiding a conflict of interest.
Yeah. You're supposed to put things into a blind... This. Yeah, I mean, politicians, if we go down that road, you're supposed to, and the expectation is to put your assets in a blind trust for the duration of your term. But we'll leave that alone. That's a whole separate conversation.
It is. But it's the best analogy you can come up with here where Matt, if he were to like promote and shine a spotlight all over the place, like that's okay. But putting it on his stuff raises ethical questions that are very serious.
Okay. All right. I like it. All right. So, you know... Yeah, two changes to talk about. I'll go first. Mine's short and sweet. I hired a new social media manager for a 2 to 3 month contract to see how it goes for backupspeaker.com because that project has stalled due to situations out of my control. for the past 2 months, trying to re-engage it, get it going. Hired someone to do some social media management, she's awesome. She's really cool. And by the way, she lives upstairs right now. I hired my daughter.
Wow. Yeah. That's great.
Well, she's in the right demographic. She knows how to use Instagram and Twitter, all the socials. So she's...
She's going to get you on TikTok.
There's a thought about that. And I said no. But Instagram stories may be a thing. So we'll see. Stay tuned for that. So what do you got?
Wow, that's exciting. Yeah. I'd love to see the work. Recently... My employer, Sand Hills Development, hired a new application support specialist named Taylor Jackson. She lives in Georgia, and she's amazing. I'm very excited to have her on the team. Shout out to Taylor.
Nice. Very cool. Congratulations to both of those new hires. What you're wearing, what you're wearing, what you're drinking now. What you're wearing, what you're wearing, what you're drinking now. All right, keeping the momentum going. I am wearing Work Camp Birmingham hoodie because it's 40 degrees outside and our house has ups and downs with the heat and temp in here. I'm drinking water and coffee. It's kind of late for us, so I'm just having a little bit of coffee in my Sandhills mug, actually. But I would use other competing mugs if I had some handy. Anyway, and I'm reading, I'm almost done with this one. This is The Art of Invisibility by Kevin Mitnick. He's the old school hacker. I love these kind of books and this stuff. Yeah. And I'm also along with this watching Citizen 4. It's a documentary about Snowden. It's over on YouTube. So I'm watching that in conjunction.
Yeah.
So,
you were telling me about that.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Mm. It's scary what's being tracked. Like every little thing is being tracked in our entire lives. So take that for what it's worth.
Yep. Okay. Well, then I'm currently rocking a Digital Summit Detroit t-shirt, a conference I attended last year, and a GoDaddy hat. I'm drinking some eggnog.
Woohoo!
Trying to be festive here.
Yeah.
And I'm reading a book called The Last Wish. It's the first book in the Witcher series.
Oh, interesting.
You know, the Netflix show.
I've heard of it, never seen it, but yeah.
Yeah, well, we watched it this year and enjoyed it and are looking forward to a season 2 if that ever comes out.
Awesome, cool.
Yeah, books are great.
Yeah, so, hey, Kyle, guess what time it is?
Oh, shoot. I can't remember how this works. Is this the part of the show where we talk about how Aaron Rodgers is the undisputed MVP for this year and Devonta Adams is one of the all-time great receivers? Or is now the time to talk about Hamilton and how it's the greatest artistic contribution in all of human history? If not, that's okay. I'm willing to wait for it.
No, that's the RKS, the Random Kyle Show. It's
I hope it's soon, though, because it feels like we're running out of time.
Yes, it is. That's right. It's questions time. You sent them in, we read them, we researched them, and now it's time to give you some options. Options, options. Drink that eggnog, choke it down, suck it down, swallow it, and here we go. Question one.
You want to ask? Do you like eggnog?
I'm not a huge fan of it.
Okay.
Ellen likes it. The kids like it. We actually bought some almond nog last week from Aldi. It wasn't bad.
Oh.
But because it's almond, it's like twice the price for half the volume.
Yeah.
Literally.
Well, they're a lot harder to milk than cows. So.
Yes, they are. Just a little bit. Okay, I'm stopping.
Yeah.
All right, you want to ask that first one?
Okay, what options do you have when it comes to being offered a job that you are qualified for, but is oddly low in the salary or scale for that role? This is an anonymous submission.
All right. Well, I'll say, well, person anonymous. I would first of all say jump at the opportunity, and then hem and haw and concern yourself and, you know, just say, yeah, and then actually just agree on it, shake on it right then and there. But then you want to say right off the bat, you need 4 months paid vacation starting today.
4 months?
Yeah. That's okay. Option one. My option one is
what would you even do with that time?
Learn to play my guitar.
Yeah. Bingo. Good answer. At last. Best answer you've ever given.
Wait a minute.
You've really stepped it up.
Yeah.
In my absence.
Yeah. What do you got? I have two options total, but I'm going to see one of yours. So.
Well, my advice comes because I've been keeping different company these days, mm-hmm. you know, in these strange times. Like the people that I'm hanging out with are a little different than in previous times. And I've been learning a lot of new tactics for problem resolution. The people I've been associating with more have taught me some effective strategies, which... you know, I've underappreciated previously. Specifically, I recommend kicking and screaming fits. If you've never thrown a proper tantrum before, the best way I recommend follow these steps is to lie flat on your back on the floor, kick your legs in the air, stomp your feet hard on the floor, scream as loudly as you can, and use your arms to propel anything within reach at the person who had the audacity to offer you employment for below market rates. That's my tip.
Huh. Well, it's weird because that was exactly my number two.
Throw a temper tantrum. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. See?
I actually have a third one technically as well. So three and maybe four. But yeah.
Okay.
I like that. I wonder how you've really come to embrace that.
I'm learning. Learning from new people in my life.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
Who are a little younger than me.
Right. Yeah.
30 years younger than me, maybe.
Awesome. I would say another option is this. I would ask the question to yourself in theory, like once you go through the process of being interviewed and offered the job, what's the benefit in taking this job versus not taking this job? Is there an opportunity for growth? Is this company a startup? Are there stock options? You know, you know, and with that in mind, there's got to be a win-win. They need, you know, it really needs to be a win-win.
Or a win-win-win.
Right. I'm not sure what the third win is, but yeah.
That's an office joke, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think you're right. Never watched.
Sorry.
It's okay. And then I'll just add my third option, so then you can, you know, take us out of this one. But I would say take the job. If you really want the job, if you need the job, if you're desperate for money, times are tough right now, great. But then realize you'll need to do some moonlighting and or rob a bank 2, 3, 4 times a year, maybe 5 times a year. I mean, it depends on how low this job is. I mean, if it's at the bank, it makes that much easier.
Mm.
If it's a bank job and, you know, if you're doing development.
Does it differ if you're like particularly good at bank robbing? Like your haul is bigger each time? I mean, like what? I mean, where'd you come up with the number? What's the expected haul on a bank robbery?
Oh, I think you want to shoot low.
You like going to small branches, you know, targeting low five figure.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, okay. I think you're better off, you know, just kind of staying under the radar. Just don't call attention to yourself as a bank robber. Don't go flashy.
Okay.
Don't wear masks. Wait, no. Don't wear like famous people masks. I don't know. Don't have a okay. I guess the point I'm saying is don't have a crew. Just do a solo job.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably
okay.
That's probably smart, you know. Just like, you know, just like you operate independently, you know. Keep all the money for yourself.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I think that's really wise advice from someone much older and wiser than me.
Mm-hmm.
There's my opinion is that on this topic, and it's a topic that I love, anything career development and compensation related is a passion of mine. I want more questions like this. One reflection is that there's really no excuse for not knowing really well the fair market rates for your occupation. You should know this really well. Mm-hmm. All of us should.
Right.
And have a deep understanding of it. And there are abundant resources online which you can use to search various titles related to your profession. It's not always going to need to be an exact match. It's more about the description of the job than the exact title match. But search a number of titles that are relevant to what you do professionally. See what those standard salaries are. You should know these numbers offhand. You should know the averages, the highs, and the lows. And when an offer comes your way, you should know whether it is closer to, say, the 25th or 50th or 75th percentiles in your region, in your industry. Once you know this information, you can reasonably ask questions of the prospective employer, like, can you explain your compensation strategy to me and your reasons for paying, you know, X job title below the 25th percentile
right
for our market? You can ask these intelligent questions that sometimes you might get a really intelligent answer in response, that maybe there are good compelling reasons why they seem like an outlier, but actually they're not. If they explain it, it's perfectly possible that this employer knows more about compensation and the appropriate rates for these roles than you do. And so hear them out. It's also perfectly possible that you could knock them back on their seat and make them go,
we didn't know. Yeah.
Well, the truth is I'm just trying to get somebody to work for as cheap as possible.
Right. I mean, the odds of them not knowing is the smallest percentage of this equation.
It's possible. I mean, it depends maybe a little bit on the size of the company you're interviewing for and like who's doing it. Is this like a true HR compensation professional, or is this like a solo founder of a small company who's kind of trying to figure this out
and
kind of going with their gut on compensation? So be ready with the information that you should have and know just as a professional.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to ask this question in between your answer here. So I'm just curious for your perspective, because you're in the operations now. You go through this a lot, I'm sure. Would it be so unheard of? I mean, obviously, interviews nowadays are not in person, but even online, would it be so unheard of if you're interviewing me for a role, if I had broke out, if I had, I guess you wouldn't be able to see it because I'd have it on screen. I could say it. But let's say you were in person. Would it be awkward for an in-person interview, coffee shop, office building, whatever it is, the old school pre-pandemic, to take out that note when they say, and bring it up that way, say, hey, look, I did some research. Do you think that'd be awkward or inappropriate?
No.
Okay.
No. I think that it says good things about personally.
Right.
It's a little bit, this is a personal opinion. And I think that speaks highly of someone taking this very seriously.
Right.
Like anytime a prospective employer is like, well, I did some research, whatever they say after that, I'm like, oh, I'm listening. Because the overwhelming majority of candidates that I've interviewed do not say that. It's spray and pray. I filled out an application. I gave you my resume. I glanced at your website. Mm-hmm. I didn't know more than that. That's the overwhelming majority. So anytime somebody's like, well, I did a little research, I'm like, you're awesome. You are automatically going to the next round, no matter what it is. So if they say, I did a little research on what the appropriate pay ranges are for this market, industry, and title, I'm like, well, yeah, let's talk. Cool.
Right.
This is great. I want to hear you out. And because I'm good at my job, I'm going to be able to engage in that conversation and maybe like help them make sense of this. Mm-hmm. You know, oftentimes they may come. I've had this scenario play out before where they come with some information. They did a little research and I had to walk them through it and explain how maybe there's a problem with some of the sources that you're using, or some of the assumptions that you're making, or the way you're looking at it, or comparing some of these numbers to your level of experience and qualifications and so on, or not an exact match title and so on. There's, you know, a few errors in the way that you're approaching this, but you're on the right track. That has happened before.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, I mean, I've heard a lot about, and then, well, I guess the point I was going to mention here, to bring up, was now there's also regional pay based on pandemic numbers, people moving out of the cities, no longer needed to go into the office. So now companies are reassessing pay and dropping it. Like, you move out of town, if you move out of San Francisco, you're going to move, let's say, to, you know, Jackson, Michigan. Let's just use that. I mean, you guys are a smaller town, less expensive to live there.
Right.
But you can still get a nice house, you know, whatever. But do you still get the salary from living in San Francisco? You know, so companies are doing this now.
There's a divide.
Right.
In the world of distributed companies and remote companies about what the appropriate way to handle this is.
Right.
There's not a consensus.
Right.
There's mostly two lines of thought. And one is factor in the location of the employee, where they currently are, into the equation. And, you know, and then the other is, do not factor that in. Use a single source, or maybe multiple sources, yeah, a cocktail of sources. But and then the location where an employee resides is not a factor.
Right.
That is kind of the two lines of thought. And, you know, maybe in another conversation, we could discuss those at greater length.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, that whole being based regionally, if you lived in an expensive city and then you moved on your own after the fact, you're not, you know, you get to keep it. But now it's really changed. This last 9 months has changed that entire, dynamic across the board, and then what if you move back later? I don't know. It's just, it's interesting. So yeah, this is an interesting question based on the time as well. You know, I just feel like this came, I mean, I just think like Avalon might have something to say on this. You know, she accepted $2 an hour. I mean,
wow.
But she really wants it. It's an opportunity. She gets shares in the company. Oh, it's supposed to be anonymous. No, it wasn't from her, just so you know. And I'm not paying her $2 an hour. It's like double. She's like, actually, she literally said to me, what are you going to pay me? And I said, how about college?
There you go.
Dinner.
Full ride.
In essence.
University of Michigan.
Woohoo. Yeah, she's already at UNC Asheville. But anyway, yeah. So anyway, so do you have any other options?
No.
Okay. I mean, it's an interesting question. It's an interesting dilemma.
Actually, I do want to
remind
people to just try and make sure you're being realistic about your qualifications.
Absolutely.
The person asking the question said, you know, a job that you are qualified for. But remember that is a complicated thing to determine, and there won't always be perfect agreement about your qualifications and how they match the job. And the average that you see on online sources is, that's not actually what everyone with this title makes.
Right.
And, you know, that's just kind of like this midpoint. And if you are just getting started in this role, which, given the fact that you're asking this question, you might be early in this, right, this profession, expect an amount that is below that average.
And I also want to mention,
maybe it sounds obvious,
a lot of people in underrepresented groups, mostly, I'm going to say, you know, people who identify as female, don't apply for jobs based on description of job title and or of job description. Whereas men, people, those who just, you know, identify as men, are just like gung-ho. They go for anything. It doesn't matter whether they're qualified or not. So I just want people to kind of take that in mind. If you're qualified, apply. Whether you think you are, you know, I mean, within reason, does that make sense? I'm trying to just, you know, give people that confidence to say, you know what, try to. I don't know. I'm messing up how I'm trying to say this up, but wrapping up. But I guess the point is, like you said, salaries may not be exactly what you see online, and people don't apply because, like, oh, I don't have this one skill. Well, you know what? Still apply. If you have 75% of the skill set, apply. Period.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and you're right. And listeners don't necessarily even have to take Adam at his word at this, because there have been studies on this.
Right.
And, you know, what you're saying has been multiple times substantiated.
Oh, yeah.
That the rates at which different genders actually apply for the same, equally qualified people.
Right.
apply are different. And yeah, it's something that people in the hiring side should be should be very mindful of.
Right. All right. All right. Great question. Question two. I'll ask this one. It's a little longer. Okay. But it's really right up your alley. You'll see why here in a second, as you know. Question two. This is sent in from Joey from Singapore. Hey, it's Joey from Singapore, he says. Glad to hear that the show's coming back, because I tweeted out a week or two ago that it's coming back. And Kyle is too. Hey, he's happy to have you back. My question is this. Have you thought about leaving WordPress? Or in what kind of situations? This is actually to Kyle. I think so. Maybe not. Maybe it's to both of us. Or in what situations do you see yourself leaving WordPress? When WordPress is no longer the top choice CMS? When WordPress Foundation makes a bad call? As of today, I don't see myself leaving WordPress at all, though. Thanks and happy holiday season.
Wow.
So yeah, I at first I thought this was really more towards you, and I realized it's really more towards us. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting. But we just spoke about this literally like a week or two ago because, as I've mentioned on the show, and you may or may not have heard because you're a little behind on catching up on shows, you know, you've changed roles. You're not building sites like you used to. You're not running the agency. You're in a different place. But, yep. You know, so and what I mentioned on the show about a month or two ago, even with Scott DeLuzio when he guested, was that we're probably going to have, in some time in the future, when you get 5 more kids.
Jeez, don't even.
Jinx you. You know.
Not funny.
No. I mean, the initial thought was, you know, would you have the time? And you're like, right now, you know, 3 months ago, you're like, there's no way I have time. So I put the word out to 5 other past guest hosts. We're going to rotate them through. And that was going to start from 2021. And it still may start in 2021. But that said, you and I spoke offline like a week or two ago about your disconnection already with WordPress. Mm-hmm. So what do you do with that?
At the points that you're bringing up, this is true. This is real. This affects not just, this does affect the podcast too. And this is not a question about the podcast. There are two different categories of reasons for which would lead me to, you know, choose to kind of leave, I guess. If it's not like a thing that you could formally exited, like officially publicly said, I'm done. And that's pretty drastic and not probably likely going to be the thing for any of us to do. It's more like just kind of fizzle out and stop actively participating. And there are two categories of things which would make us, either of us, do that. And one is things within our life, and the other is things outside of our life, outside of our control. So the things inside my life are primarily like my role changes such that WordPress becomes a very, like plays a minimal role mm-hmm. in what I'm doing, or even no role at all. That has somewhat happened.
Right.
Where before I was doing development and I was doing technical support and I was doing marketing and building sites and consulting and stuff like that. I was doing all those things where I was touching WordPress every day. And now I'm in a role where I don't touch WordPress every day. And I love this role. I love the job that I do. But hands-on with that software, not in my job description.
Right.
It's uncommon for me to do that. If I go and like blog about something that we're doing, I'm using WordPress, but like I'm not working on it.
So, and I guess our conversation stemmed around the fact that if you're not in it day to day or consistently, do you feel like you're bringing value, let's say, to this show or to the community as a whole?
Well, that is also true. And I felt this way, not just about the podcast where we're answering advice questions, but also like hosting our meetup here in Jackson.
Right.
My co-host and I found ourselves earlier this year in this situation where we're like getting people coming to our meetup. Well, more last year because we didn't have much in terms of meetups this year. But we're not very good at answering these questions anymore. People are coming and saying like, how do I choose a theme? Or how can I fix this thing on my site? And we're like, I kind of remember how I would have answered that 5 years ago when I was doing it all the time.
Right, right.
But right now I'm like scratching my head a little bit and trying to figure it out with you, and we're doing our best. But in the meetup context and on the podcast context, sometimes I feel poorly qualified anymore. Yeah. Like, I'm just drawing on old knowledge that is partially outdated and kind of fading as I replace it with knowledge on my new focus. So the changing of my role can be a driver for kind of moving a little, like segueing out of it, and also changing the changing of what our company actually does, which hasn't really happened now, but there is the potential as the years go by for my employer to more or less pivot and focus on other things. And we have kind of some projects which are not WordPress, and there's a slow gradual increase of their significance within our company. Mm-hmm. So it's not out of the realm of possibilities that we could look at this company in a few years and say, wow, what we're doing that pertains to WordPress is small, a small part of what we do. I'm not saying that's going to happen. We're even on trajectory for that, but it is possible that it could happen. And that's, you know, these two things within my sphere are my role changing and the focus of our company changing could lead me to kind of, regrettably or not, no longer really be participating in WordPress.
Right. So
the other category is stuff outside of our control. I'll let you go for a second, though.
Well, I was going to say, so as I reread it, you know, and realized the question is broad and kind of covers both of us. For myself, it reminds me of when I was doing photography work, running the studio that way, and I would go to conferences, photography specifically, and I would hear photographers speak about running a business. Marketing, sales, but they never shot anymore. Like, they had priced themselves out of the market. They didn't want to shoot anymore at all. They either had staff or they didn't do that at all. They just had a course or a book or a new service. That was the big thing back then, you know, doing a SaaS service, you know, like whatever it was at the time, or a database to help, you know, do sales. But they didn't shoot photos anymore professionally. So to me, it's like they're no longer a photographer. So why do you can't say you're a photographer? So I always wanted to make sure I had a foot in it. So I was going to speak about photography and still shoot. So I would know what's going on. I'm the same way now. The minute I step away from running the agency or contributing in a community sort, I'm not. I will, and I see that coming potentially. And, you know, I asked you 2 weeks ago, and I asked Dustin this. I'm like, do you think I'll be doing this in a year? What I'm doing right now, running the agency, you know, we talked about that. We'll talk about at the end of the show about what next episode will be, actually, come the first week of January.
Mm-hmm.
But a little foreshadowing. But, you know, I have been fortunate. I've pivoted a few times in my life already. You know, I pivoted out of photography into WordPress. I'm, you know, and I see something in the future for me. I'm not sure what it is yet, but I definitely see it's done. It's been a solid 10 years. Things are going well, knock on wood. Things are strong. Business is good. But we'll see. You know, I'm not sure what's going to happen, where my next role will be, or when that is. And I'm not looking for a job, but I've always told people I'm open to amazing opportunities. You know,
only the amazing ones.
Only the amazing ones. If it's mediocre, well, if it's mediocre and pays less than mediocre, then great. I'm also in.
Right.
But
no.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, we just talked about the personal things.
Right.
Which are important to go over, but I would say maybe a little more obvious. You know, we can't predict the future. Anything could happen. Our lives could change and we're not so much into it anymore. That kind of goes without saying, but the more juicy stuff pertinent to the question is what's external things which would make us choose
to leave, like
make us say, you know what? I'm not into this anymore. I'm leaving this scene.
Gotcha. Because of community or foundation or core kind of thing.
Right.
I see.
So there are a couple that I came up with that crossed my mind that would really like push me away from this community, which I've been like massively invested in for a long time now.
What do you got?
And, I think I have about four or so that came to mind. One could just be going a very, very long time without any in-person interactions. You know, we've gone all of 2020 pretty much without much of any interaction with the people that we kind of got accustomed to seeing on a very regular basis. And the relationships that we've formed were much stronger. And if that continues for a long time, it's really kind of naive to think that it won't have an adverse effect.
Absolutely.
On like the strength of those relationships and our enthusiasm for participating. So if it's another year or another 2 years or so on before I'm like back in that scene and like hang chilling at after parties with my old buddies and picking up where we left off, that might not even be realistic to begin with. Mm-hmm. People's lives changed. You know, the people that I was hanging out with a few years ago who were in their late 20s, they could be like having kids now and buying their first home and moving to different positions. And I might go back to these WordCamps and realize that it used to be a crowd of 50 people that I knew, and now there's like four or five that I kind of know. That could happen, and it might make me decide I can't justify going to a lot of these anymore. Maybe. I don't know. I could just start making new relationships. That's also possible. This is not like a nail in the coffin kind mm-hmm. of thing, guaranteed. But it really could contribute to lessening my participation. Another would be a kind of a general exodus of my close contacts. I've developed a lot of relationships in this industry. And so if I were to see a lot of like Adam Silvers and other, like my other friends migrating away from this community too, like preceding me and going to do other things. And mostly now all of a sudden it's strangers. That could really lead to me participating less. I just don't know that I have the energy and enthusiasm for starting over, especially when it's not my professional focus anymore. A third would be a real significant increase, maybe not even that significant, but a continued increase in the entanglement of Automattic's commercial interests and the open source project, especially with the continued lack of acknowledgement of this problem. Years ago, we used to say, like, this is going to be a problem. Like, it's a genuine problem right now. It's very entangled. It's very problematic. There are a lot of conflicts of interest. It's not healthy for the community and interest and the community and in the community's best interest for it to function this way. And if it continues in that direction, then it's hard to really muster up enthusiasm and passion for it. Because it's not what it used to be.
Yeah.
It's really not. Matt the person isn't playing the role that he did back in the days when he was at least a little more relatable and like a part of, it felt like we were all part of this community doing something cool together. And now things like Five for the Future just like make a lot less sense with the sheer amount of money that has been infused into the Automattic company and their talks of an IPO. And the size of some of the other companies like that, it's just staggering. Like that company alone has more than like all the plugin and theme companies put together, and quadrupled probably, like all of them. They could buy this whole industry if they wanted to and own literally every company. That's how much money they have right now. And now, so it feels weird to talk about Five for the Future stuff. And you know, I don't want to rant on that too much, but if that continues to kind of like be the norm indefinitely and gets any worse, I'm just not going to be passionate about it anymore. Mm-hmm. And then the last would be if the whole ecosystem kind of black holes, by that I mean like a critical mass of small independent players are kind of destroyed or absorbed to the point where there's no longer any real community and there's not like this landscape of a lot of independent small businesses. It's just this, a couple of titans mm-hmm. who have pushed out or absorbed all the players. And now you go to an event and there's no founders, there's no independent devs, there's just employees of the big companies. That's just doesn't feel as much like a community anymore. That feels like just like every other industry, every other older industry that's just dominated by mm-hmm. the gargantuan right. corporations.
Right. So you're saying Costa Rica Press is not going to happen now next year?
Oh my goodness! I guess I'm saying a lot of things at once, yeah. And that's what you're hearing.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. No, I hear you. I agree. I mean, I think the lack of participation, the community outreach, all those things mattered as well. I mean, I went to one WordCamp this year. It's sad. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been scrolling through my photos on my phone. I have 13,000, just over 13,000 photos, and majority of them are work camps. You know, obviously, you know, half, at least 50%. The other 50% is my family, or 25% is a dog, whatever. But, you know, and you see the history, you see the, I send you some from time to time. I'll see the, you know, Facebook comes up, you know, this day last year or 2 years ago. Well, that's not going to happen next year. There's going to be nothing from this year for travel. Yeah. You know, it's going to be, it's just kind of sad.
It is sad. Totally sad. Yeah. I mean, and woe is us. Right. We missed out on like some conferences, I guess.
Right. But overall, I think for me, pivoting is a combination of place in life, but as far, back to the actual internal, like things like, I'm not sure how to say it, but will I still be doing this in 10 years to where I'm all of a sudden I'll be sick of it? I don't know. I mean, I don't, for me, I don't think something will change in the time frame. I don't think something will change within Central or Foundation or corporation wise in a time frame before I might pivot on my own. That makes sense. Mm. I think that's the way I would word it for me.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. Makes sense. I'm happy that Joey is happy to have you back. I'm happy that Joey isn't leaving WordPress anytime soon. And I don't know about you, but I do follow him on Twitter, and I look at his photos, and he's amazing. I still look forward to meeting
him.
He really is.
Yeah. He really is. Lastlights.net,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. So he's cool.
Joey, you're awesome.
You're awesome.
You're awesome.
All right. Moving on to our segment. This week, we're going to talk, we're going to do bomb.com. This is where we give three ideas each about amazing .com ideas.
Oh yeah, the opportunities that these offer to you guys, they're golden.
I looked, and
it's unbelievable that these domains are available. Right.
Do you want? I have three. How many? You have three also.
You told me to get three, so I got three.
You want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
Bagelcleaners.com.
Huh? What would you use it for?
Well, with those, you know, you ever like dropped a bagel on the floor and said, like, "What do I do?" Oh shoot! Now there's bagelcleaners.com. You could go to that website, get your bagel cleaned.
Okay. Okay. Is it like a how-to video, or is it like you actually send it to someone?
I mean, I don't want to lay out the whole business plan. Okay. I think some of it you can figure out on your own. Some of it's a little bit obvious. So I don't know why you're asking, but you know, for those of us who got our bagels a little bit dirty and we need it cleaned, go to bagelcleaners.com.
Okay. My first one is, I might have a theme and see if you can put it together when you get to the third one. The first one is thesecondwave.com.
The second wave. Cool. But, like a surfing website.
Sure. It could be surfing. Yeah. Or it could be, you know, something else. But it's $3,500. So it's available for, it's on the higher end of premium domains right now.
Oh, dang. Yeah. Okay.
So, what's your second one?
Meaningofloaf.com.
I love the carbs. Yours is like a carb centric one. Meaning of loafs.
Meaningofloaf.com. Loaf. Okay. Just, I mean, I don't know. I don't really know how many people, I haven't done a poll or anything or seen any data about this, are people who don't know what loaf means. But now you could be the first person to set up a site exclusively dedicated to like answering the question,
what's a loaf? What
loaf means.
Okay.
For all the people out there. So, I mean, it's just like SEO right there in the title.
Right.
Like that is just, it's going to dominate the rankings.
Yeah. Okay. My second one is officecouch.com.
Office couch.
It's how to do research about the couch you need for your office. It's a blog. And maybe to buy one, because I have one behind me, as you can see here on Skype, and it is by far well broken in.
Yeah.
You know, I think every office needs a couch.
I like that. I would like to have a couch in my, I have like a little, like a lazy boy.
Yeah, yeah.
In my office.
Yeah,
and that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But a couch, I mean, that's kind of next level.
Yeah.
Okay. I envy you.
What's your third and final?
AdamSilverify.com. This could be really handy. Maybe if you're tired of having too few business ventures, you could go to this site and you'll get great tips on how to exponentially increase the number of new projects you're trying to grow. Or maybe you could learn about the fascinating art of branded t-shirt collecting. Maybe you could get expert hair and beard maintenance tips. Or perhaps if you're in a weird situation where your wrapping is too good and you want to bring it down to a more human level, this is a place to learn how to do that.
Mm-hmm, I see that. Okay. Yeah.
There you go.
But the beard is
AdamSilverify.com.
But the beard is, you know, here nor there, because it comes and goes now all the time. So.
Right. Okay. Right. And, on command.
Right. Yeah. My third and final is EmotionalSupportWine.com.
EmotionalSupportWine.com. Like wine like a baby or wine like a beverage?
Beverage. Because of, you know, so all three of them happen to do clearly with pandemic.
Because it could work either way. Emotional support, whining.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's like that's a sister site, yeah.
Right.
But, and I think this would like, I think Amy Masson would be a perfect candidate to buy that one. That's only $35. So officecouch.com is $3,400. Emotionalsupportwine.com is $35, by the way. So
dang. You're bringing in the expensive. Like, how much money do you think people have to invest in these opportunities?
Well, if they're buying Bitcoin lately, you're doing well.
Well, that's true. I guess these opportunities are so good that it's worth
right.
the investment. You got to spend money to make money, right, guys?
Absolutely. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, those are currently available. And if you want them, go check them out. I'm not buying any of those at the moment. So, you know, so I wanted officecouch.com, but I just don't feel like I have kids going to college, you know, so.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to wrap it up. Oh, actually, before we wrap it up, I want to mention that the next episode that we do together, which will be early in the first week of January, we're planning on, or the first week or two, is going to be the recap of going over this year's predictions.
Predictions.
Right.
It's an annual tradition that we've done for, I don't know, 4 years now?
Two, three, something like that. But I think we actually, and I mentioned to you before that I think when we make new predictions, I think we should do a draft. And we could, that way someone can win the draft. Like, you can pick... I'll explain it later. You'll see. Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, so
I'm easily confused.
So if you haven't listened to last year's predictions episode or this year's predictions episode, go back and listen to that. If not, don't worry about it. We're going to re-listen to it ourselves, look at our notes, and see how we did.
And make new predictions coming year.
Right.
2021.
Right.
I'm sure we did great in 2020.
Oh, like, yeah.
This year went absolutely according to plan.
Perfect.
We foresaw everything. So I'm pretty sure this is just like a preview of what you're going to hear in a couple of weeks, just how we nailed it.
Nailed it.
We saw all of this coming.
Absolutely. So on that note, thanks for listening. Be sure to email us any questions you have at questions@getoptionspodcast.com or use the SpeakPipe feature of the website. You can find us online, Twitter primarily. We're at get_options. I'm over at Hey Adam Silver. Kyle's at Mr. Kyle Maurer. We're on SoundCloud and Spotify. We can't talk about that anymore. Say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.